Chapter 57. Ruth. Ruth pulled into the driveway of a detached suburban home deep in central New Jersey, around 2 in the afternoon. Gary had called her back last night, said he'd watch the movie she recommended. They talked for half an hour, and Ruth told him she'd like to meet, in person, today. He'd given her this address. After the fire, Gary's insurance company paid out a settlement that had allowed him to buy this house. The garage door was half open, and Ruth could see piles of boxes stacked just inside. He'd moved in a year ago, and he told her he was still unpacking. Most days, he couldn't summon up the strength to eat, never mind decorate or unpack what few items he had left after the fire. She pressed the buzzer, stood at the front door, and waited. No answer. This time, she pressed the buzzer for longer, then knocked on the door. A brown sedan was parked in the driveway, so she guessed he was home. 2 minutes passed by, and a creeping unease swept through her. It wasn't her usual sensation of fear. This was different. She tried his cell. He didn't pick up. Ruth moved around to the garage, lifted the door up a little more, and went through on her hands and knees. She got up, called out his name, and listened. She could hear voices in the background, and then music. A TV turned up loud. The dumbass probably couldn't hear her knocking on the door with the volume up so high. The garage was filled with boxes, some opened, some empty, but most were still sealed. She could see a door at the far end. She tried the handle. It was open. She called out as she entered a utility room that led to the kitchen.
Gary?
No answer. The damn TV was so loud now, it was almost unbearable. She followed the sound to the living room. Gary Childers sat on the couch in front of the TV. ESPN was blasting out at what must have been maximum volume. She grabbed the remote, hit the mute button, then swung around. Gary hadn't moved. His dead eyes stared at the screen. The top of his head was missing. Ruth stumbled back, dropping the remote. A gun lay on the floor by his feet, along with an empty bottle of whiskey. He'd turned the TV way up to mask the sound of the shot. Gary had talked about ending it many times, putting the barrel of his pistol in his mouth and pulling the trigger. Ruth had talked him down more than once, knowing how useful he could be to her. Ruth swore, angry now. Gary was the only one of her current group targets who could do the job. With a sudden silence in the room, Ruth could hear her heartbeat, a thumping rhythm that grew faster and faster, and then she realized it wasn't her heart. The chest in her mind was rattling, the chains screaming again. Sometimes things got out of the box, even though she tried hard to keep it closed. The sounds and images flooded her mind. She clamped her hands to the sides of her head, but the assault was so great it brought her to her knees. It was getting worse. The peace she enjoyed after the killing was growing shorter and shorter, and the chest was growing bigger and angrier and louder. No matter how many chains she wrapped around it, no matter how deep she tried to bury it, she knew things had to change. She had to be more involved. The knowledge that her target was dead wasn't enough. She knew that she had to somehow make it more real so that she would know he was dead this time. They were all him, that family. They all knew. They were all part of it. The child of a monster is still a monster. They all had the look. They all had those eyes. Ruth had thought of asking Gary to take pictures after he had killed the Grangers, something she could look at and hold, and use to stretch out that golden hour into a day, a week, a month. The loss of Gary Childers was hard to take. She could manipulate the right people into killing, but this was different. No one, apart from Gary, would destroy a whole family. A man, a woman, and 2 kids. They just couldn't. Gary could have done it gladly. She needed the release. The fear was taking hold again, rooting her to the spot. She looked up from her kneeling position and saw the gun lying on the carpeted floor, bloodstains dotted around it. It would be easy to pick it up, take it with her. Any damn fool can pull a trigger. The thought of it brought a wave of excitement. Her chest fluttered, and her fingers trembled as she reached for the gun. She hesitated, her hand hovering over the butt of the pistol.
"Pick it up,"
said a voice. Her gaze flicked to the TV screen. There was a graphic in the bottom left corner indicating the volume had been muted.
"Pick it up," said the voice.
She recognized the voice. There was a slow, wet sound to each word. Ruth raised her gaze, even though she felt a strong urge not to. A will from somewhere inside to keep looking at the carpet. Something old and primal in her brain was warning her not to look up. She couldn't help it. Gary was looking at her. His eyes were black eight balls, swollen, filled with blood and quite dead. His lips moved, blood pouring from his mouth as he said,
"Pick it up. Kill them all."
Ruth picked up the handgun at Gary's feet, put the gun in the waistband of her jeans. She took the remote control, too, and carefully wiped down the door handle of the garage as she made her way out through the garage. She got into the car, reversed, and drove away fast.